Did you know that too much of a good thing can be dangerous? The Apostle Paul warns the Corinthian church that unrestrained liberty can lead to sin. Today, you'll discover how the Israelites' misuse of their newfound freedom serves as a powerful lesson for you. Paul emphasizes that your freedom in Christ comes with responsibility. How do you balance liberty and love in your daily life? Stephen called this lesson, "The Danger of Too Much Liberty."
The medical community is consistently encouraging us to eat healthy and drink plenty of water and get regular exercise. Those are good practices, and I'm always convicted because I need to do more of it. It's interesting, though, at the same time, too much of any of those can actually be harmful. Exercise, the wrong kind, can lead to injury. Too much water can result in, there's a long word here, hyponatremia, which is actually or potentially fatal. My doctor tells me I stay indoors too much and I don't get enough sunlight, which produces vitamin D. However, if I get out there in the sun too much, well, skin cancer becomes a threat. The truth is, you can get too much of a good thing. Well, the Apostle Paul has been warning the Corinthian church that even though they have found freedom in Christ, freedom comes with responsibility. Unrestrained liberty can be dangerous to ourselves and to others. And in our last study, Paul explained several areas where he gave up, he sacrificed his personal rights, his personal freedom, for the sake of his testimony and the advancement of the gospel. Well, as we sail back today into chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, Paul raises another concern that excessive or uncontrolled liberty can, in fact, lead to sin. He begins with an illustration of the Israelites who misused their freedom and newfound liberty from Egypt. Paul writes here in verse 3 that the Israelites all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. You might remember how in the desert they enjoyed God's miraculous provision of manna and water, and Paul calls both of them here spiritual, and that's because they were supernaturally supplied. They came from Christ. They also pointed to Christ, by the way, who would be the bread of life. Christ would be the fountain of everlasting water. But talk about blessings. Talk about freedom as Israel traveled from Egypt to the promised land. But Paul writes now in verse 5, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Paul then states here in verse 6 that the Israelite experience took place as examples for us. In other words, there's something for us to learn today that happened thousands of years ago in biblical history. Those who've been freed from the bondage of sin through faith in Christ need, evidently, this warning. Now, what exactly do the experiences of Israel teach us today? Well, verse 6, not to desire evil as they did. Verse 7, not to worship anything or anyone besides God. Verse 8, not to get tangled up in sexual immorality. Verse 9, not to test the Lord, but to trust the Lord. And verse 10, well, not to complain when we don't get what we want. Well, here's the overall warning, beloved. The Israelites thought that because of God's blessings, they were free to do anything. It's almost as if they had too much of a good thing. And Paul is warning the Corinthians now of being in danger of taking God's blessings for granted, of taking advantage of their freedom in Christ. They're heading toward the same sins as ancient Israel. And in case anybody in the church thought they were too strong to fail, well, Paul writes here in verse 12, "Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall." Let me tell you, beloved, no believer is too big to fall. The moment we start thinking we've got everything under control spiritually, that we're too strong to give in to that particular temptation, well, let me tell you, we're heading for a spiritual collision. Now, Paul follows this warning with a promise here in verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but will, with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. We might fail, but we don't need to fall. God isn't going to give us more than we can bear. In fact, he's going to provide the way of escape. Now, escape doesn't mean freedom from temptation. It means the power to endure temptation. The devil, that old lion who's roaming around today seeking someone to devour, well, he's going to chase you all the way home to heaven. There's never a day when you won't need to be dependent on the power of Christ. Well, now here in verse 14, Paul tells the Corinthians to flee from idolatry. So they're evidently in danger of actually participating in idolatry. But you might wonder how. Well, it's not simply by eating meat sacrificed to idols, as Paul has already said, and is going to say again, idols are not gods. So eating meat that's been offered to them, whether it's bought in the marketplace or offered at a meal in an unbeliever's home, or even there in the temple, well, it's permissible as long as it doesn't offend or create a stumbling block for other believers, especially the weaker, younger believer. But this doesn't mean, by the way, that a Christian is free to eat sacrificial meat in a pagan temple as part of idolatrous worship. And that's what some of the Corinthian churches has been doing. They've taken their freedom too far. Paul explains here in verses 16 to 17 that the Lord's Supper, eating the bread and drinking the cup, is a special connection between us and the Lord. In the same manner, eating sacrificial meat in a pagan temple, well, that might be too much of a connection between the Christian and paganism. So Paul reminds them here that behind the worship of idols, even though they aren't real, there is a real dark kingdom of demons. And he writes here in verse 20, this warning, I do not want you to be participants with demons. He writes in verse 21, you cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. So what's he suggesting here? Well, he's saying this, be careful. Don't hang around the edges of sin. Don't see how close you can get to the edge of the cliff. Keep away from it. Run from it. Flee idolatry. Now, with that, Paul reassures the Corinthian believers that they have liberty to make decisions in questionable areas of life, but he reminds them again not to take their freedom too far. He writes here in verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. He adds in verse 24, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. So that's another way of saying liberty isn't just about you. Even though the Corinthians could eat meat offered to idols, Paul gives an interesting illustration here. Now, what if an unbeliever invites you over and serves you meat that he's purchased from the temple? What are you going to do in the first century? Well, Paul answers here in verse 27, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question. In other words, enjoy that prime rib, that filet mignon, the best meat in that community would have been sold at the temple. However, Paul writes in the next verse that if somebody in that home points out that the meat has been offered to idols, well, don't eat it, Paul writes. Do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you. In other words, someone in that home considers the idols to whom the meat was offered to be real. So in that case, the believer should abstain rather than potentially discredit his testimony as a follower of the only true and living God. Well, what about today? Here's the timeless principle that could answer a thousand questions about our own liberty, about our own freedom in Christ. Here's what Paul writes in verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Wow, what a great text. And out of this answer from Paul comes some timeless questions we can ask ourselves in this century. Do my choices advance the gospel or hinder it? Does my behavior raise questions about my testimony for Christ? Could my liberty lead another believer into temptation? Is my Christian freedom helpful to other believers? Well, these are questions that Paul asked himself as he limited his own personal freedom. And Paul could tell us all, as he does here now in chapter 11 and verse 1. He says this, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Now, you might be tempted to think, well, that's Paul. You know, he was an apostle. No, this is for all of us. Let's all live our lives in such a way that we can say to weaker believers, younger believers, church members, other believers in our lives, let's live like this. So we can say, imitate our own commitment to Christ and let's follow him together. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today on the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Remember, your freedom in Christ should never lead you into sin or hinder your testimony. So, strive to live in a way that honors God and supports your fellow believers today. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to install the Wisdom International app on your phone or tablet. With this app, you can take our Bible teaching ministry wherever you go. Follow along with the Wisdom Journey and Wisdom for the Heart. Access Stephen's 4 decades of Bible teaching. You can listen to his sermons, read his manuscripts, enjoy daily devotionals, and much more. The app also features a Bible tab that lets you read or listen to the Bible. Search for Wisdom International in the App Store for your device. You'll find it there. Download that today, then join us next time to continue this wisdom journey.